Good morning. My name is Susan Van Riesen, and I'm on the preaching team here at the Vineyard, and I'd like to especially welcome you, and it's really nice to see you this morning. When I was almost 5 years old, my family boarded a 747 from Seoul, Korea, to come to the great land of the United States. And this is a picture of me when I was almost 5 years old, 40 years ago, when I was getting ready to board that plane to come to the United States with my mom and my dad and start a new life here. We settled in Springfield, Oregon, where I was enrolled in an American kindergarten. I spoke no English at all, and I had no idea what to do in this strange country. I was completely out of my element. In the apartment complex where we lived, there were a whole bunch of kids, and they ran around, and I was allowed to run around with them. And through hanging out with these children in this apartment complex, that is how I learned to speak English. There was a little girl that I met a couple years older than myself whose name was Chris. And she included me and took me under her wing, and so I became friends with Chris, and we would have play dates at each other's homes. And when I went to her house for a play date, I noticed something kind of strange. I noticed that she had a lot of items, books and toys and whatnot, that really looked a lot like the items that I had at my house that I happened to have misplaced. And every time I went to her house, I kept finding things that I was like, wow, we have one of those too, except I can't find it recently. One day, I went to her house, and I think the penny kind of dropped because I found this purse in her room, and it looked a whole lot like a purse that I had in my little five-year-old room where these things were very precious, except this purse was handmade by my mother on her sewing machine with a special zigzag design, and it was the same material of the skirt that I had that my mother also made for me that was at home, and I realized, I think you have my purse. But Chris was very insistent that this was her purse and that her mother had made it for her. So we never really resolved it. And as we went back and forth, and as I said, no, I really think that's my purse because I have a matching skirt and it's very special to me. And she just kept insisting that it was her purse. And then at one point, as we were going back and forth, she said, "What do you know? You don't know anything. You don't even speak English very well." On that day, I realized that not all friends are good friends. I realized that not all friends are good friends. You know that song, my girls have come home from school, make new friends, but keep the old one is silver and the other is gold. You know that song? I realized not all friends are gold or silver. Not all friends are great. This summer, we are asking God to give us wisdom in our relationships through the book of Proverbs. And there's much that this book has to say about relationships and particularly friendships. And Liz touched on this, the topic of friendships last week and when she spoke, and we're continuing on that today because we think it's such an important area in our lives and our hearts. What does Proverbs say about friendships? One of the main things it says about friendships is to choose your friends wisely. To choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm." According to this proverb, wise friends make us wise, and foolish friends will bring us harm. This means that we can either enhance our chances of growing in wisdom and faithfulness and in good character by surrounding ourselves with wise people or not. And I just want to ask you, who here wants to be a person of good judgment, of solid character, of fine repute? Yeah, you can either raise your hand or you can just say, yeah, Susan, nod your head in a friendly way. Yeah. I want to be a person of good character. I want to be a person who grows into good maturity, spiritual wealth. I want to be someone who is of good repute, where people think of me and they think fond thoughts and of respect. Then choose wisely in your friendships, especially your close friends who get to influence who you are. In this country, in this fine country of the United States, there is a feeling that you are an independent person. You are an individual. You are who you are with your own convictions and your own opinions that are yours alone. But that is not really quite in alignment with what the Bible says. The scripture says that we are highly influenced by the people around us. That we are highly influenced by the people around us. We are porous. We are shapeable. We are malleable for better or for worse. For example, this past week, my family went on vacation to a cabin in the mountains. And we go every year with this family that we've known for a long time, and it's good fun. This year, we decided that the kids are old enough, and we decided to do something called OTS, which we learned at a camp. It's called Opportunity to Serve. So we had a big sign-up list. We had every meal, and we had all the kids and some of the adults sign up to help out for prepping the food and cleaning up after every meal. And it went fabulously. I mean, the kids were into it, and the other family that was there, their dad has a particular gift in joyful, energized servanthood and leadership in saying, "Let's set the table!" And the kids were like, "Yeah, let's set the table!" You know, just like, let's do this thing, and let's serve and help out. Now, I would not say that my children are natural lovers of service and cleanup and helping out. I mean, probably like many 5, 6, and 9-year-olds, you know, they hem and haw. They, you know, need to be motivated, need to be reminded before setting the table or cleaning up or that sort of thing. But this week was just kind of an immersion into, let's be excited about, let's do this together, let's see why this is something that God wants us to do. Let's really give ourselves to service and helping out and everyone pitching in. Even at the end of the week when we cleaned up the cabin that we were staying in, the other family, they do this thing called the Hour of Power. And so that means we all put our hands in there and we're like, ready, set, yeah. And then we turn on really loud music and we divide up into teams and we scour that house. We just clean it up real good and right. And, you know, and the music's on and we're like, da, 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 you know, and we're just excited. And my children were like beings from outer space. I really, it was a part of me that was like, who is occupying the bodies of my children? Because these people were into service. They were into cleaning. My children were like, "Mommy, I've done the windows. What else do you want me to do? Do you want me to scrub that little spot on the floor? I get to do it." "No, I said I get to." I mean, it was like, wow. And what I realized is that my children were influenced by this other family and by the culture that we had created together and by the leadership, particularly of this one dad. That they, even in the area of cleanup and helping out, were porous and malleable and influenceable. They had been greatly influenced in this good thing. It's almost like you could rewrite that scripture to say, he who walks with people who have a good attitude about hard work and serving will grow to have a good attitude about hard work and serving. And I want to say that this does not just apply to those who are 6 or 15 or 20 years old. It applies to all of us, to everyone. We are always being shaped by the people that we are surrounded by. And that's a part of what makes life interesting and dynamic, but also dangerous. A few years ago, a student came to our house to babysit for us. And Alex and I were going on a regular date night, and that particular night we were going to go out with another couple who we really respect and who we've invited to speak into our lives, and we challenge each other and really, really know what's going on in each other's lives. And I was sharing with the babysitter that that's what we're doing. We're going out with this couple that really help us to live wisely in our lives. And the babysitter was shocked that we were doing that, and she was quite surprised that we actually intentionally hung out with peers our age to speak spiritual truth in our lives. And I asked her, why is that so shocking to you? And she said, well, my parents went to church. They attended church my whole life as I was growing up. But they didn't really have any friends. My parents went to church, but they didn't have any friends in their lives. And as she thought about it, she realized, I think my parents, as they had kids, they kind of eventually gave up on having friends because it was just too much. You know, it was just too, they were too busy. And so while they had acquaintances, they never really had any friends, and as she grew up. However, as they went through difficult times in their marriage and in their family dynamic, the father of this, our babysitter's father, had started getting influenced by colleagues at work who were not particularly helpful or ethical. So he was really influenced in some negative things through colleagues at work. And the mother of our babysitter started being influenced by neighbors, women, other women who were very, very critical of their husbands. So those issues, as you can imagine, came into this pot of all sorts of other issues and just kind of made it really difficult and straining for this family. So that our babysitter said to me, I pretty much remember a lot of tension and difficulty in our family dynamic and my parents' marriage. And she looked at me and she said, gee, I wish my parents had chosen to have friends to speak into their life. I wish they'd had the support that they needed, just from a kid perspective, to have more wisdom and godliness in their life. So we know that we will be influenced by the people that we are around. That is just true. We will be influenced over time. So why not find intentionally wise people to influence in the ways of God and in the ways of a good and wise life? We need to look at Scripture to give us wisdom about how we should choose our friends so that we are walking in the ways of wisdom and not of foolishness. And the first advice I'd like to give you is highlighted more on the negative side. Just want to acknowledge that it comes from the more of a what not to do and who not to choose as friends. But we're going to talk about the opposite side in a minute. And I just want to say that really important caveat. This does not mean that these people don't matter to God. I'm not trying to say that these are bad people who we should dislike and hate. I'm saying these are not the people that we should allow to be the close influencers of our lives. Everyone matters to God, and we should do everything. We should take every opportunity to touch the lives of everyone in a positive way, to serve them and pray for them and potentially point them to God. But I'm talking about who gets to influence us and shape our habits and character. So who are these people? Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. If you see any of these things in a person, we are told to steer clear. Do not become close friends with a person who has these issues. These are the categories that should wake us up, like I woke up when my friend insisted that my handmade purse was hers. Things that tell us, oh, this may not be a safe person for me to walk closely with. Let's look at these things a little bit more closely. Proverbs says that the Lord hates haughty eyes. The word haughty means that a person simply thinks that they're better than everyone else. They think they have an attitude of superiority or disdain or contempt. They may think things like, I am well-educated, and you are not. I am beautiful and stylish, and you are ugly and plain. I am wealthy, you are poor. I've got lots of friends, you don't have social skills. I'm spiritually mature, you are not. I recycle, you obviously don't care about your carbon footprint. I mean, people are creative. People are creative in the ways that we think that we're better than others, right? You know, the human mind is just amazing in our ability to take something, and it might even be something that's good of God, and use it to justify ourselves and make ourselves in our own minds better than other people. Aren't we good at that? But God says he does not like haughtiness. Haughtiness is not pleasing to God. The list could go on and on. But this attitude is dangerous. People who think that they are better than other people are headed for destruction and a great humbling. And we should not walk closely with them. Second person we need to avoid is a person with a lying tongue. Recently, I talked to a friend who was a big liar when he was young. When he was a little kid, he just said, I was a big, fat liar, and I wish my parents had held me accountable more. But I just got away with lying, and I just kept doing it. And later on in life, when he decided to follow Jesus more seriously, that was one of the first things that Jesus started dealing with him. Because lying is unacceptable to Jesus and really unhelpful for us, it turns out. Turns out, lying is really displeasing to Jesus and very dangerous and unhelpful in our lives. So we ought to avoid people who have given themselves to a life with a lying tongue. Additionally, if you become friends with someone who lies to others, why would you trust that they wouldn't lie to you? Amen? Yeah. Why would you give yourself in friendship to someone who's committed to a lifestyle of lying? Because if they lie to others, they are going to lie to you at some point. They probably will. The next kind of person to avoid is someone whose hands shed innocent blood. Now, at first you might think of that one and say, oh, that doesn't really apply to my life. I don't really hang out with murderers that often. But I think this is also talking about people who are willing to use their power to hurt other people, or push down or oppress people. People who are willing to take advantage of other people's vulnerability. People who, when pressed, say things like, what do you know? You don't even speak English very well. Could be even something like that. There are lots of different ways in this world where people have power. Isn't that true? Some people have financial power. Some people have great personality power. Some people have educational power. Some people have physical power. Some people have knowledge power. We have all sorts of different kinds of power we have. And those things are given by God to be used for good, right? To bless other people and to make an impact for the kingdom of God in this world. But it is also true that some people have no qualms using their God-given power to crush and oppress other people. Have you seen that? To be people who use their money or their physical abilities or their sharp wit or their personality to oppress and harm other people, to oppress the innocent. And we are to steer clear of that. And we are to see a danger warning because that is not okay with God. Additionally, we are advised to steer clear of hearts that devise wicked schemes and feet that run quickly to evil. And this includes people who are willing to take part in systems or industries that hurt people. So if someone is making a living through drugs or stealing or pornography or other illegal ways, we should not be close to them. Now, again, this does not mean that we don't care for those folks, right? This does not mean that we judge them or just refuse to relate to people. But it means that if you are following Jesus, you will certainly be invited by the Holy Spirit to relate to and love and care for and pray for people who might make you uncomfortable. People who are really different from you. Jesus certainly hung out with all sorts of different kinds of people who broke the law, who were on the edge of society. But the point here is that we are not to let those who do evil things influence our lives and our character. Does that make sense? We are not to let them in on our lives, to walk with them in such a way that they influence us or our families. The next person we are to avoid is a false witness who utters lies. When I was first looking at this, I thought, wait, didn't you mention that already, the lie thing? At first, it looks like the number two. This might sound like the person with a lying tongue, but actually this scripture is focusing on a particular kind of lying. Someone who has a slandering tongue. Someone who is willing to defame someone else. Someone who is willing to pass on damaging information about someone else when it is not even necessary. And you know, this can be kind of sneaky. Sometimes slander comes in pretty packages. It might sound like, oh, can you pray for me? Because I'm kind of struggling with so-and-so, because he did this and that, and he's always saying such and such. Can you believe that? Sometimes slander comes in pretty packages. And it is tricky. It is easy to fall into that, especially if your community allows for that culturally. But you know, I have a friend who has a finely tuned radar about this. My friend is razor sharp in her discernment about whether people are sharing about a situation in order to get prayer and to really get help and work through something, or whether they're just sharing to speak badly of someone. And sometimes it takes some discernment to know the difference. And my friend really values non-slander. She really values being someone who disallows people to speak badly of people. So sometimes it's uncomfortable for me because she'll say to me, Susan, should you actually be talking to the person herself about that instead of me? Or she'll say, actually, should you be talking about this out loud? Or maybe you should take it to the Lord. You know, like she will ask me those questions. And sometimes that feels uncomfortable, but I'm glad for it. I rejoice that she has a radar that says, hey, let's not speak evil. Let's not slander other people. Let's have an allergic reaction to gossip. The last kind of person we should avoid is someone who stirs up dissension among brothers. And I don't think this is just a man or among men. This is in community. Have you ever met someone who constantly brings up disunity rather than unity? Have you ever met someone who, wherever they go, there's dissension and disunity? Who always has a critique about a person or a group? Who has a hard time forgiving and being a person who seeks peace? I've known someone for several years who always seems to have a negative thing to say. She seems to gain energy from dwelling on dispute and seems to delight in hanging on to the wrongs that others have done to her. And she complained for years. She used to go to this church, which she didn't like, and she complained to me for years and years about, oh, this church is so bad, it has so many problems. And so she finally moved from that first church to a different church. And when she got to that other church, do you think she was happy? No, she talked constantly about how that second church didn't measure up to the strengths of her first church. A person who stirs up dissension is not a wise friend. Now, I realize we've gotten a lot of advice about who to avoid and negative examples about people. So I'd like to encourage us to find people who are the opposite of these things. Instead of a proud and arrogant person with haughty eyes, we should seek people who are humble and know that they are a fallen person, just like anyone else. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine about the newspaper. And you know how in the newspaper there are all sorts of people who do bad things? Have you ever noticed that? If you want to feel like you're better than other people, read the newspaper and you could be like, I can't believe this person did this. I can't believe they did that. Can you believe this? Well, I was doing that. And I was like, wow, can you believe this person did this? That's horrible. You know what my friend said? But for the grace of God, there go I. And I was kind of humbled by this person's humility, where their first response was, you know, if it weren't for the fact that God has given me so much in my life, I could totally do that. I could totally fall into that. It's not this those people who do that. I totally could. And I realized, I want to be friends with you because you've got the right attitude. You've got the attitude that carries the humility of knowing that we are all total sinners and broken and fallen and twisted. And if it were not for God's gifts to us and our salvation, but for the grace of God, there go I. Do you know people like that? I just want to encourage you to surround yourself with people who are not haughty, but humble. And instead of a person with lying lips, we should find people who have a pattern of speaking truth. And not just theoretical truth, but truth that applies to our lives. What great safety there is in surrounding yourself with people who will speak truth to you. Have you ever had that happen? Where someone, out of graciousness and love and wisdom, says something to you. Hey, you know, you need to work on this. That is gold. That is gold. Instead of people who are cruel and hardened toward those who are vulnerable, we should surround ourselves with people whose lives are full of compassion and who use their power to bless, who are constantly looking for ways to use their power, personality power, financial power, educational power, who use their power to be a blessing, especially to those who are vulnerable. And instead of people who are willing to be involved in evil and dangerous things, we ought to seek people of integrity who are involved in things that would not be that they would not be ashamed of if they were to be made public. I want to be around friends who, at the end of their life, their whole life could be opened up and they would not be ashamed because they are living their life in the light and they are living their life with integrity. And instead of people who create strife and who are constantly critiquing, we ought to let ourselves be influenced by people who are reconcilers, by people who are always seeking to build people up rather than to tear them down. Who are the people who surround and influence you? Who are the people who surround and influence you? Are they people who are walking in ways and habits who are pleasing to God? I just want to say that just those of us who call ourselves Christians, it's not an automatic that our characters are pleasing to God, amen? Well, we are all on a journey, man. Are they wise people or are they foolish people? And I just want to acknowledge that some of us might need to back away from people who are not good or safe for our souls. There are some situations that just because a friend is easily accessible or they've been in our lives for a long time, that does not mean that they are a wise friend. We ought to have right discernment about who are the people who are allowed to influence us in the deepest ways. And if you are spending your time with people who influence you in ways that are not good and safe and wise, then it is okay to adjust your relationships. It is okay. It is more important that you are on the healthy path toward life than that you have a lot of friends and that you are who are influencing you toward things that are not good. Now, just a caveat, I am talking about friendships. You may be thinking at this point, what about family? Some of these relationships, the relationships that are not full of wisdom in our lives are family relationships. And it is true that generally we get to pick our friends, but we do not get to pick our family, right? But we do, and I could give a whole sermon on that. I got thoughts. But I would say we do get to choose how we relate to our family, right? We do get to choose how we let them influence us or not. And so it is still good and wise to say, is this person who God has graciously given me in my family, is this someone who I really want to influence me in my habits, in my character, and in my beliefs? And I hope the answer is yes. And with great humility, we ought to be open to that. But if it's not yes, then we need God's wisdom on how to adjust our interactions with them so that they don't influence us toward bad habits and behavior. I think another question I want to ask us is, what kind of friend are you? Who will you be? Will you be a wise friend to others? Or do you see anything in the description of things, the things in the Proverbs passage, and the things that God does not like that is reflected in your life? Boy, I sure did. As I looked at that, I just realized, I got to adjust that. I need to repent of that. Who are you? Who will you be? And what kind of friend are you to others? Today is a great opportunity to make that change. If there are some ways that you are a person of deception or dissension, or you are a person of haughtiness, then today is the day to come before God in the gathering of the believers to ask God to change our hearts, that we might seek wise friends, but that we might be able to be a wise friend to other people as well. And if you are a person, you realize you want more wise friends, my advice to you today is first be a wise friend. Amen? If you want more wise friends in your life, then ask the Lord's help and transformation to be yourself a wise friend. Lastly, I want to remind us that while friendships are fun and nice, what we're talking about here is a very serious thing. You know, I think it's tempting to say, oh, friendships, this is a light sermon, or this is a kind of a fun sermon. It's not about something that's like theologically deep and meaningful. But I suggest to you, because friendships matter so much in our lives, in our hearts, and also our habits, our trajectories, our relationship with God, this matters a lot and can be life and death. In this life, you are going to encounter great joys and great difficulties and everything in between. And friends will matter a lot. Wise, mature, God-filled friends will matter a lot in you being able to walk faithfully through those times. You know, the other day I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said, yeah, I've started going to this church. I love it so much. It's huge. Has a lot of people, and I really am enjoying this church. And I was like, great. And she said, well, actually, I only make it there like once a month, and it's been a couple months since I've been there, but I really like that church. Also, I try to slip in late and leave early, and I don't like to talk to anyone. I just don't think I'm interested in getting to know anyone right now, but the teaching is good, and I receive a lot in the time that I'm there. And I think I'll be okay spiritually as long as I just keep attending that church, because it's a really good church. And I just wanted to say, no, don't settle for that. Don't settle for that. This is like, it's like sitting at a feast. Like, it's like sitting at a feast that God is laying out for you. Just a massive, awesome feast, and saying, thank you, I'll have a crouton. Why would you do that? Why would you sit at the feast of community and relationships and interactions and mixing it up and scripture and depth and involvement and service and all those things? They're things that are just a feast of the Lord, and saying, thank you, I'll take a pickle and go home. You know, just like, why would you just take a tiny bit? That is what you're doing if you don't invest in relationships, in really taking advantage of the wise friends that God is offering you over time in community. Just really want to encourage you to not settle for being an individual, to be an independent walker, to be on your own with God. Because deep spiritual life does not come from simply attending church now and then when you can. Deep spiritual life comes from Christian community and the company of wise spiritual friends. I want to end with a passage that reminds me of the treasure that friendship is. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. And if one falls down, the friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And I understand that that third strand is you and your friend and God. This passage tells us that we need wise friends to help us to try again when we fall, to encourage us when we are discouraged, to lighten our load when it is too heavy, to comfort us. And that's what I get from that to lie down, be warm thing. It could be a camping image, but I think it's more of a comfort thing to keep us warm in the travails of life, to give us strength against evil and against lies and temptations. Anyone need that? Anyone here need those things? Someone to help you when you fall? To encourage us when we are discouraged? Anyone need encouragement in their lives ever? Anyone? Anyone need comfort when you're feeling low? Anyone need strength to face evil and temptations? Anyone here? I do. I raised my hand twice. I need that. I need those things. If you need those things and more, if you need those things and kind of a good funnel for the good things that God has for you, then choose your friends wisely. Choose to have friends. Take initiative with your friends. Take initiative for more friends. And choose your friends wisely. With the help of God and by God's grace, you will and can receive this great gift from God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the gift of friendships, which is spoken about so much in the scripture. And though we've just touched on it this morning, I just invite you to give us each wisdom about friendships. And Lord, so many of us have wasted time or gone astray because we haven't chosen wise friends. And though we know that you call us to love everyone and be open to everyone and be a blessing to everyone, I pray that you would help us to be really selective and wisely selective about the people who get to be in that close place in our lives. I just pray that you would give us wisdom from your hand. You know, some of us, we're not very good at this, but you are Jesus. So speak, Lord, as we are here together today, as we worship you, as we continue to receive you. Lord, I just ask that you would do this for us. In Jesus' name.